This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And that's me, your host, Rick Moore. And I don't know if hungover is the right word, but feeling a little less than 100% from last night. My parents were in town. We went to this really wonderful restaurant. I don't think that they underwrite on WNRN, so I'll describe them as Italian, just across the street from JPJ, and not officially attached the Econo Lodge. But I had this pasta dish that had more seafood in it than a big guy who grew up on the Chesapeake Bay could actually eat. And unbelievable. Everyone should look under Italian restaurants in the city of Charlottesville and see if you can locate one on, attached to the Econo Lodge, but not actually part of it. Unbelievable food and a wonderful, wonderful evening out with my parents. Thank you so much. I don't know if they're listening or not, but safe driving, please. Safe driving. We are going to have a very interesting show today. The topic itself is very interesting, but I think the guests will also drive you crazy with knowledge and just sexy voices. All right, let's test this mixer, which has been my evil nemesis for the last couple weeks. We've already given up on that because it didn't work. Oh, there's Maggie. Maggie Guggenheim. Let's try that. I prefer the other voice. All right, try it again.
Maggie Guggenheimer.
Well, let's switch back to the other way. Let's just do what we did last week. Everyone squeeze close together. There you go. So, Maggie, lean close.
Yes. Can you
yes,
hear me?
I can indeed. And see, I prefer Maggie Guggenheim because it seems to have some art name to it.
It's not the first time I've gotten that.
No, you're not. So I'm not being original there?
No, you're not.
No. Darn it. All right. So we'll switch back to Maggie Guggenheimer.
Thank you.
Maggie is the, now what is your official title?
It's Executive Director of Piedmont Council of the Arts.
Executive Director
yes.
for Piedmont Council of the Arts. That's a pretty highfalutin title. Is it not?
It's just the title.
Just the title.
Yep.
Okay. Maggie Guggenheimer, Executive Director, Piedmont Council of the Arts. Next to her, Laura Parsons.
That's right.
And your official title, ma'am?
Official title is Art Editor at the Hook.
But Art Editor at the Hook.
Art Hack is fine.
No, the hack is on this side of the keyboard, but thank you nonetheless. All right, now feel free to swing the microphone around so people don't have to. It is
Woo!
On it.
Swing
it is, yeah, there you go.
Step back.
And then over by the window, mm-hmm. so she's trapped in for conversation.
Hard work.
Beryl Sola, how are you today, ma'am?
Very well. How are you today?
All right. Everybody's got to have to get closer to the microphone.
Okay.
Now, that's why I say feel free to pass it around. See, it's on a swinging thing.
Looks so cute. Does she look good in her headphones?
Everyone looks good.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's one of the advantages. That's one of the advantages for being on this side. I get to invite some hot chicks.
Babelicious art girls.
Right. Babelicious. All right, Beryl. Really, you got to get. So
right,
you got to get
okay.
either swing the microphone over when you're talking. There you go. Don't be shy about it. Beryl Sola, who is the chair of Piedmont Community College Art Department and Gallery Curator. Is that correct?
That's correct. But I'm also now, as of September, the chair and the table of the Art Department. So it's a promotion of sorts.
All right. So everyone's copying.
Next year she'll be the suite.
Yes.
We're already copying all the lame jokes that I usually provide for the show. All right, so we do have Beryl Sola from Piedmont Virginia Community College, PVCC, Art Department, Laura Parsons from The Hook, Maggie Guggenheimer from Piedmont Council of the Arts. And so, if you haven't figured it out yet, today's topic is going to be arts. And a little bit more than that as we step into not just... And one of the things that we talked about as Beryl and I were sort of trying to put this show together was what I didn't want was just the art calendar. This is not a show about, hey, you know, what is what's going on at Piedmont for, you know, in the gallery for the rest
actually,
of the year.
Actually, Rick, what's going on?
because a lot of these things Laura Parsons would write about in The Hook.
And I'm sure you've all read the column, so it won't be new to you.
Right. Now, we will talk a little bit about some of the different things that are going on because they are not your typical this person and their artwork up on the walls or in the floor because, as you'll find out through the hour today, there are some very different styles and forms of showing art and very different styles of art out there. But a lot of what we're going to talk about today, and again, as Beryl and I were putting things together, are what the role of art is and how art affects the economy rather than just being given a percentage, as a lot of people think is what's happening is, what happens with art in the school system. I don't necessarily, whether you do or don't like the art that sits in the medians of major roads in Charlottesville, Albemarle area, you know, we're going to get into a little bit deeper areas than that, and I hope you'll participate or at least listen along. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. That's the toll-free line, just in case you're listening in the Lynchburg 89.9 area. All right, so Beryl Sola from PVCC, Maggie Guggenheimer, Executive Director from our area, Piedmont Council of the Arts, and Laura Parsons, who writes about all the lovely art for The Hook. And we all love The Hook. I love The Hook.
Underwriter.
That's right, underwriter for this program.
And long and interesting history.
All right, start with... one of the things that I found most interesting as I was doing my little bit of research for the show today, the role of the creative workforce and how that affects today's economy. Because today's economy is at the top, or certainly near the top, of everyone's thought process with what's going on in political sense and just what's going on in their wallet. So I'm curious, and Beryl, let's start with you because it is something that you brought to my attention. The role of a creative workforce in today's economy. Explain, what is the role?
So are we talking creative workforce as in people in everyday jobs approaching it in a creative fashion?
You tell me.
Oh, fine. Let's talk about dogs and fashion then. well, I think in every job there is... a huge opportunity to expand it and grow it, and creativity is central to that. We're sometimes defined by our jobs and expectations, but there's no law that says we're limited to that. So when people, and I'm going to bring this back to edumacation because, you know, that's what I focus on. When you're in an education environment, when you're in an art environment, school or classes, wherever, it changes the way you think. It changes the way you see the world, and it changes the way you respond to the world. It changes your observation skills. Who am I even looking at? I'm looking at y'all. So there's a relationship that can happen between the educational creative experience, the work creative experience, and the cultural creative experience.
I'm going to tag on to that by just mentioning something that I learned recently, and that's that increasingly, students in medical school are being asked to visit museums and go through guided gallery tours with curators and museum educators. And their experiences in museums have had an effect of actually improving their skills as diagnosticians.
I read that, and I found that to be very interesting. I guess, I interrupted you, but explain how that works. And I'd like to know... who started that, you know, whether it was one school or if you know the particular individual who started that, who could think outside the box, silly phrase, to put the two together.
I'm not sure who started it, but I know that the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York gives tours for a lot of the different medical schools in the New York area. But I believe that the reason it has a positive effect on doctors' abilities to diagnose things is because it actually heightens their ability to see things very closely and to look at details. And also, when you think about right brain versus left brain, I mean, left brain is your typical logical linear way of thinking, and your right brain, your more artistic sensibility, has to do with synthesizing rather than analyzing. And when a doctor is, can you hear me?
I can hear you wonderfully.
Oh, okay, well, it changed. It sounded very different all of a sudden.
As can everyone else, because okay. I can look at the monitor.
Okay, great. So what I was saying was that I think that these experiences in the museum actually, in addition to helping doctors see things a little bit more in detail, and maybe they're noticing a higher level of intricacy in not only paintings they look at in museums through the guidance of a museum educator, but also in their work. When they look at a patient's face, they might notice something in their eyes or something in their mannerisms that they weren't as sensitive to before having these experiences of looking very closely at things. But they're also more able to step back and synthesize all the different pieces that they're observing in a patient and make inferences based on bringing ideas together rather than analyzing little particular parts of the information they've been given.
Also, historically, every classical education included drawing for everybody, and that's part of the liberal arts tradition in this country and in the Western culture generally. So when a student has to take a humanities class for whatever their major happens to be, a lot of times drawing is the best choice because it's about observation, and that's the main thing, and it helps whatever you do.
That is one of the things that I found most interesting was that they were taking, medical school students to an art, a gallery to walk around and look. Mm-hmm. And then when they got back, these students were claiming, claiming makes it sound like it wasn't true, but were saying that they now had and showing the ability to find more detail in the work. Is art mean that the rest of us cannot notice the details in life? Does art provide us with a sense of an ability that others who have yet to, to incorporate it with a skill that needs to be upbuilt and increased? Does that make sense?
No. I think I understand what you're saying. I think what art does is we experience life so quickly, and an artist will take a particular aspect of it and distill it in such a way that it's almost like a microscope, except not exactly a close-up, but it distills details so that we're able to look at them more closely. And by able to, you know, this opportunity to notice the details, then suddenly when you move away from it, the details that are flying by you all the time, you can see them better. So I think what art does is it takes a little, whatever the artist is interested in, you know, a snippet and a focus on that. And it's like, even in video art, I'm going to say it's like a still, but it's not a still. It's just a focused examination. And so once you're exposed to that, then you go back out in life, because all art draws on life, even abstract art, and you're better able to see what's going on. That's what I think.
And I think it's important to look at it not just in terms of the visual arts, which we've been speaking about primarily, but also in terms of the work that a young musician might go through in their first band class, learning how to operate an instrument, to put together a series of notes, and to understand how melodies are formed. I also read recently that 50% of new engineering students at Georgia Tech play an instrument, which is an unbelievable statistic.
Say that again.
50% of incoming students to Virginia Tech play an instrument, according to Daniel Pink.
And who is he?
Is
he a Virginia Tech parent?
He is not. he's a guy who's been getting a lot of attention lately. Sometimes is referred to as Dan Pink, but he's been speaking about the importance of creative workforces and right brain thinkers in the world. He was the recent keynote speaker for the Americans for the Arts annual conference, and you can hear his talk online. It's about an hour long if you go to the Americans for the Arts website. And he looks, that's where I got all these statistics just from listening to that one talk. And he really, he makes a very cohesive argument for why creative thinkers are going to become increasingly important in terms of setting the American workforce apart from the global workforce, or increasing our ability to innovate and provide products that that are ahead of the curve in some way, whether the way they look or the way they operate from a an engineering perspective.
Does the, you know, we talk about how creative thinkers are important in the economy. Is there a dollar value to that? Because I think many people, whether it's true or not, would say, and as I mentioned at the start of this particular part of the conversation, is money being spent on art in place, and for those of you who in our outreach areas, large sculptures in the median strips of Charlottesville, Albemarle, art monies being spent at the school systems, art or monies being given to, does Piedmont Council of the Arts receive any money?
We, along with, I believe, 11 other nonprofit arts organizations in the city of Charlottesville do receive annual funding from the city, and we also receive funding from the county. But Art in Place is actually funded by a reserve of money that is specifically for the arts. So it operates from a very different standpoint in terms of the city's coffers.
And my argument, from which I think represents several or a percentage, however you want to view it as minor or major, would say, why isn't that money going to reduce my tax base? Why isn't that money going so that I don't have to pay for my garbage pickup? And so where does the, you know, why can't the monies being spent in these areas go to other places? And so to me, that's my question about when we talk about arts being part of the economy. Go ahead, Beryl.
Okay. Quality of life is
A little closer.
Quality of life is as important as anything, maybe more important than a lot of things, and public art can contribute to that. When you think about the streets in Athens, Greece, that are tiled with designs from, you know, hundreds of years ago, the Parisian subway surrounded by beautiful Art Deco scrollwork, that stuff, I mean, the Empire State Building, the Eiffel Tower, all of these things don't come cheap or free, certainly. So you have to pay for beauty. Beauty costs money like everything else, and beauty is a part of what we need. It changes our worldview, and it makes our life better in every way. We're happier. We're expanded in our thinking. We establish a sense of place. You know, when you drive through any town in America now, you see TJ Maxx and Pizza Hut and you know, whatever, the Walmart, whatever. You could be anywhere and see the same awful crap. So one of the things that Art in Place does is it distinguishes the location. It distinguishes the city.
Also, I wanted to talk a little bit more beyond Art in Place. A lot of public art projects, and in particular ones that Beryl has done, not in Charlottesville, well, one in Charlottesville at least, but elsewhere, where community members are actually involved in creating the piece. And what happens with that is people get a sense of investment in their community. You know, it's something they own that they can see all the time. It enriches their life in so many different ways. And again, it doesn't detract from, I think if we only had, you know, great garbage pickup or recycling without any art, we would be bereft. We would be impoverished.
And to answer your question about the dollar impact of the arts, there actually is, and it's fairly difficult to calculate, but 40% of all arts audiences in the state of Virginia are out of state guests, and those people are staying in hotels, they're eating in restaurants, and they're fueling our economy and the arts, and the fact that Virginia and Charlottesville in particular are exciting places to experience the arts helps fuel the dollars that are being put back into what makes our community thrive.
All right, we are here talking about the arts with Beryl Sola, chair of the Piedmont Virginia Community College Art Department and the gallery curator, Laura Parsons, the art writer for The Hook, and Maggie Guggenheimer, executive director from Piedmont Council of the Arts. I do need to tell you that the markets of Tiger Fuel has the forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny today, highs 85 to 90. Clear tonight, lows 60 to 65. A little cooler, mid-50s in the valley. Sunny tomorrow, highs 90 to 95, upper 80s in the valley. Right now in the valley, 74, 81 in Lynchburg, 79 in Richmond, 77 in Charlottesville. A nice day.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let's take a moment and thank Alt Energy for their support today. Alt Energy of Charlottesville, providing professional design and installation of solar energy systems in Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Alt Energy solar systems can pay for themselves and reduce your carbon footprint. More is at altenergyincorporated.com. And WNRN reminds you that Piedmont Virginia Community College's fall semester registration is going on right now at PVCC. You can prepare for a technology or healthcare career in just 2 years. Classes begin August 25th. You can get more info and register online at pvcc.edu or on the phone at 434-977-3900. Opportunity, access, excellence, and art. Piedmont Virginia Community College. Beryl, you like how I threw that in there?
You know, I did, actually. And I'm thinking I'm going to talk to the marketing people there. What is the logo? Opportunity, access, what is that?
It says opportunity, access, excellence.
Opportunity, access, excellence, and oh yeah, art.
Well, that was that was my particular marketing.
I like it.
All right, again, we are talking about arts. In I guess it's not just our area. The ladies as guests today are all locals, but it's art on a national and state regional area. Maggie Guggenheimer, Executive Director, Piedmont Council of the Arts. Laura Parsons writes all about the art from The Hook. Beryl Sola, representing art at PVCC. Ladies, we're talking a little bit about the economy and how arts works there. We said we weren't going to talk about the calendar, about, oh, this is going on in this gallery and this is coming up, you know, August 15th. But I do want to talk about the way art has changed in its presentation, because one of the things in looking at the calendar and its upcoming events was what I noticed was that it wasn't just about this is what's going on in this gallery. This artist is hanging his pictures here. This artist is not just showing her sculptures there. Who wants to start on how the traditional art has changed view for many?
I'll start. And this goes back to your creative workforce question that we started the program with. When I started curating the gallery, we had typically only done gallery shows, you know, gallery focused stuff. But I started working with other curators. James Yates is one of them, who curates a couple of really outside events, literally and figuratively. And most recently, Rob Tarbell curated a show at the gallery that Laura wrote about in this week's Hook. And they were very much outside the typical way of thinking about art and presenting art. So in the show, in the others, you can hear what's going on inside the gallery from your car if you tune to a specific radio frequency. You know, so it's really expanding in all kinds of ways, the way we think about art, the way we interact with art, and the way we make art.
And I'm going to take this opportunity to put in a little plug for an exhibition right now that I think is fairly unusual. It's the Fun Bus exhibition, which some of you have probably read about. And it's
the Fun Bus?
Yes, the Fun Bus. It's very fun.
You mean like party on the bus?
No, in a sense, yes. Party for kids at Charlottesville Parks and Recreation
Are
Program.
They all of age?
Not that kind of party.
It's safe parties. Safe and wholesome parties. But for the last day, there was a sort of micro exhibition at the Bridge Progressive Arts Initiative, which is, I believe, 209 Monticello Avenue in Belmont, but you might want to double check that.
Right near Spudnuts.
Spudnuts. And you can't miss it because there's a huge painted bus out front. And this exhibition is unusual because it was really a collaborative project. PCA worked with the Bridge, Sanda Iliescu, an artist from UVA School of Architecture, and City of Parks and Recreation, Charlottesville Parks and Recreation students and campers that were in their summer camp all worked together to create the bus. And the exhibition is a really important way to understand how the design on the bus came about, because it's not immediately obvious. And today is the last day to check it out. It's from 12 to 3 p.m. at the Bridge. So if you have some time early this afternoon, swing by and you'll see what I think is a really unusual exhibition, because it shows a lot of kids' work that you might not see in an average gallery or an everyday exhibition.
So I'm walking onto the bus. The gallery is the bus itself and the work is inside, or the... explain to me a little. Go ahead, Laura.
The bus. Maggie,
And you wrote about this.
No, I actually haven't
written
about it.
It's not on the calendar?
Well, no, it's in the calendar. The bus exhibition is in the calendar, but I haven't actually devoted a column to it. But Maggie did help work on painting the bus and was integral to it. The bus itself is painted on the outside, and it does have some kids' drawings of buses on the ceiling on the inside, but it's mostly for transporting the kids, so it's a fun way for them to ride around town. But in the gallery itself is my favorite part. In addition to sort of being able to track the planning of how the bus came to be, there's a whole wall of kids' drawings where they were asked, I think, to envision what they think a fun bus should look like, and it is incredible. It is so much fun. It's beyond the fun bus. So you need to go see that wall of drawings this afternoon if you get a chance, because it's just great. I also wanted to talk a bit about the Bridge. Which is a public arts initiative, and it's Zach Worrell and Greg Kelly who are the directors of it, and they are doing a really innovative project where they see the arts as a way of community building. So they do any number of projects. If you have a great arts project in mind that you think would benefit the community, specifically not just an exhibition, you should get in touch with those guys, because they will happily help you make it happen. But they do things like put students into retirement homes to talk to the people who live there about their lives and then create art from that. And just the communication itself is so important, but it all ends up in an art project. So that's a pretty innovative way that art works in the community beyond the gallery walls.
I wanted to jump into about the Bridge. I like those guys as well. At PVCC, we're always looking for people to partner with to expand our reach and to make things more interesting. And we're working with the Bridge on a project curated by Yates called Yard Art next summer, where we'll have art in people's yards. So Greg Kelly, his whole response to it is very outsider. The way he's thinking about the catalog is a more hands-on catalog. So he sort of takes the slick out of the art experience and makes it very, very manageable and people-friendly.
And if I remember, go ahead, Maggie.
Well, I didn't know how you knew that I had something to say, but I do.
I have ESP here with women in the room.
PCA just moved into the McGuffey Art Center, which many of you probably know about, and maybe some of you have seen but don't know what it is. It's an old school that in the 70s was converted into a public space for artist studios. So anyone between various hours of the week, I think it's 10 to 6 Monday through Friday, and 1 to 6 on Saturday? Yes, thank you, Beryl. Tuesday through Friday. And it's PCA's new home as of about a month ago. But the interesting thing about McGuffey is that you can see artists at work and producing in various stages of their own processes. And it's everything from glass sculpturists to Illustrators, dancers have their studios there, and it's a really wonderful place to see things in process. If for someone that hasn't actually seen an artist's work before, I would really encourage you to go check it out. And it's been a long-standing part of the arts in Charlottesville.
Let me ask this simple question, by the way, 11:31 here on the Wake Up Call, as we talk with Maggie Guggenheimer, who you just heard from Piedmont Council of the Arts, Laura Parsons, writing art for The Hook, Beryl Sola, representing art and controlling art from PVCC. And we're here talking today because of businesses like 45fix.com who support WNRN. If you have a project but not the time, there is a simple way to find a contractor. From kitchen and bathroom remodeling, house painting to decks and siding, it's 45fix.com. Immediate, no obligation estimates available anytime. The number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. You can call us up if you have a question or want to make a comment about art, 979-0919, 1-877, WNRN Rocks. I'm curious, in a quick manner, if each of you could go through and talk about how you got into your art job now.
Yeah,
that's okay. Fine.
I applied. I've taught at the college level for decades, freaking decades.
How can that be? You look so young.
Thank you. I applied. I've been at Piedmont for this is the beginning of my fourth year. So everything in my entire life led me into this job and prepared me for it. That's all I'm going to say about it.
I won't say that about my job at The Hook. Everything I've done in my life has not really culminated in my writing at The Hook. But the way I landed in this job, I was almost a studio art major in college and have always been involved in making art and have a background in film and things like that. But I'm mostly a writer. And when the opportunity came up to take over the column, it spoke to me because I like nothing more than talking about art and looking at art. And if I could write something that would make more people go out and see art, then that's a good thing to do. So that's how I ended up doing what I do.
And I would say, for me, I grew up in Lynchburg, Virginia, and went to E.C. Glass High School, where I took I played the saxophone in the band, and I taught dance classes after school, and I began looking at visual art as another area that I could learn in, and went to UVA, tried to extend that interest, and it really quickly morphed into a focus on arts education and community activist work. I actually met Greg Kelly from The Bridge when I was a student at UVA because Tim Rollins, a really influential public and social art activist, came to do a residency at UVA. And it was at that time, I guess in the early 2000 to 2003 period, that I knew that I was in love with working with communities in the arts and also felt like Charlottesville is a really great place to do that. And after a really brief stint in New York, I came back and the job at PCA sort of fell in my lap about a year ago.
All right. I just got a question through email, or not email, but IM, because you can send something to us at WNRN Studio if you're listening online. We were talking about how traditional art has changed, at least in where you view it. And the question is, does that make it less snotty? Because I think for a lot of people, art is viewed as only for the upper crust, yeah, or a certain, yeah, percentage of folks, and the rest of them, or those folks look down on the rest of them or don't allow them to participate.
I think it absolutely does. I wouldn't use the word snotty on the radio.
That's never stopped me, my dear. I go by the George Carlin seven letter rules.
I'm not saying those words either. But I read this great book by John Berger back in the day. I can't remember what the book is, but do you remember what the book is?
Something about seeing.
Oh, seeing art.
Ways of seeing.
And it said that museums were the place in a list of the most uncomfortable places to be. People felt that was the number two most uncomfortable place to be, which is...
Was the art gallery?
A museum, which was a horrible thing. And as Homer Simpson says, nothing good ends in eum. But hopefully the work we're doing is changing that. And I know what the caller's saying. And it's part of the high art, privileged cultural background of the visual arts. But we're changing that, I think, and changing it in aggressively in all kinds of ways. Fun Bus, excellent example. The yard art, the Let There Be Light show we do now for the second year, where the work is outside, and also inviting kind of non-traditional artists to make art. And people like Christo, I think of anybody who symbolizes that, Christo and Jean-Claude, with their large-scale public art projects, absolutely represent that on an international art scale. So at every level of art, I think things are changing, and yes, becoming more accessible to John Q. and Jane Q. public.
Darryl, when you do, remember, we all are sharing this one microphone.
I'm
good at that. Yeah. Talk. Here, listen to your headphones when it tells you that you're getting low in voice. We do have a caller. Caller, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you? Can you hear me?
I can. Ladies, can you all hear the caller?
Yes.
Who are we talking to?
This is Robin Hoffman. I'm an artist who does fundraising for the Nature Conservancy. I do portraiture. But I'm a New York artist, and I was raised in Brooklyn and went to NYU for my master's. Anyway, you guys are the best panel ever.
Thank you.
I can tell you that, you know, I've been here in Charlottesville for about 2.5 years, and you've covered just about everything that I appreciate, including the business sense, including the bridge, including just yard art sounds fabulous.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
I just want to say that, as far as, you know, just keep plugging because it is so important. I was on the WPA. I was doing murals, 60-foot murals and things like that in Brooklyn. And it was all about community. And it's all about bringing people to observe, just like you say, to the things and the intricacies that they just miss out on. And one of my fortes is doing farms, I've been doing them in Quebec, but I do them here now in Charlottesville.
You do farms?
As they dwindle, you know, people are really not appreciating the fact that, you know, Charlottesville is so beautiful here. And so keep plugging, and I hope that you guys just never, you know, let up, and good luck to you. And thank you for this conversation.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Robin, for calling in. And I would just like to point out that I'm the one who's asking all these questions. That helps make any panelist better. So thumbs up to me. 11:38 here on the Wake Up Call. Let's take our second break and let the panelists' egos dwindle down just a little bit.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, this week in The Hook, though he may look like an ordinary area citizen, Adam Nelson has won the shot put silver medal in both of the last two Olympics. And he's not the only Olympian among us. Read about them all in this week's The Hook. What's going on at Michael's Bistro? The dish spills the beans. And if recycling is so popular, how come neighborhoods want the recycling centers somewhere else? The Hook, an essential companion capable of numerous accessories. All right, let's also thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support today. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, with everything you need to get outside this summer. The professional staff at your nearby local Blue Ridge Mountain Sports can help you with camping supplies, maps, guides, and even guiding backpacking trips. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports can be found in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville and inside the Mountain Inn at Wintergreen. And, you know, it's not just the underwriters that help keep us on air or the guests. There are lots of radio stations with other music sources out there, but only one that bring you programs like Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. And the only reason we can do this is because of listeners like Maggie and Jim Kroll, Brenda Jim and Clement Jones, and Sarah Landon, all who supported it in the fund drive this past spring, and also because of other program underwriters like Plan 9 and Atlas Comics. So stay tuned, tell a friend about this program and so many others. you enjoy here on WNRN, and be sure to support us in the upcoming fall fun drive. And the equipment is falling apart over there. The ladies are playing with all the toys attached to it. Is everyone...
We're having fun.
Yes, concerned about exactly what's going on over there. All right, 11:40, Beryl Sola, Laura Parsons, and Maggie Guggenheimer here as we talk about art in our area and the way that it's become a different part of our life and the way it's presented to others. I think Beryl brought this up to me, and we were talking about the number of people who have art to show versus the number of people who have art to create. Swing that microphone over, and there you go. Talk right into that.
Okay.
You don't have to talk into it with some phone sex voice.
Oh,
no.
Bang.
But talk about those two things, because I found that to be very interesting as you were talking about people creating it versus people showing it.
Yeah, I think that art impulse is really strong in all of us. And I was talking to Rick about it earlier, about Martha Stewart, and I've said this to other people too, that I think part of her charm is that she encourages people to create, to make stuff, and we want to make stuff. We're a nation of makers, and there's this idea that only artists can make art and only musicians can play music, and that's simply not true. You don't have to show your art in a gallery. That doesn't have to be the litmus test of whether or not you should make art. You should make art if you want to make art and show it in your house. Give it away. Do whatever. It doesn't have to be attached to any sort of specific economy. And just about that, because, you know, we're all up on the calendar, this September we're doing at PVCC. This was a student's idea that I thought was crazy clever. The annual art haggle, barter, and trade-a-thon, where people can bring their artwork, art they're tired of, don't want to live with anymore, art they've made, and trade it, you know, kind of take it away from galleries and take it away from economics and let it be something else.
All right. anybody on that? Because I just got another question.
I just wanted to say that, you know, it's odd how in sort of Europe and the United States, art is really, people have this attitude that it's somehow elitist and put away, where it really doesn't have to be. And in so many parts of the world, art is an integral part of everyday life. Like, I've lived in India, and in a lot of parts of India, every morning, the women in the house will make these really beautiful powdered designs in the courtyard and in the doorways. And it is art, and it is fantastic, and it's simply there to beautify life and to honor the gods every day. And we can do that. You can make your life more artistic. You know, don't feel like, because you're not trained, you can't just step in and give it a go. You definitely can. And if you like it, then, you know, like at PVCC or at McGuffey, there are opportunities to learn more if you want. I don't think anybody should ever be intimidated. My least favorite comment from people is when they say, oh, I'm not artistic, I can't draw a straight line. Drawing is a set of skills, you know? It's not out of reach. It really isn't. So I just encourage everybody to kind of open themselves up and not assume they're not artistic.
I can't draw a straight line either, but that's why I'm an abstract artist.
Well, I can't draw a straight line either. That's why I have tools.
Straight lines are overrated.
That's right. So I wanted to say something else about picking up on what Laura said, is that everybody has some kind of thing that they do, some sort of thing that they love. My mother used to cover things in contact paper, and I used to think she was kind of a crazy old lady. And then when I started to think of it as her medium, it changed the way I've looked at her and her, this thing she had with covering stuff with contact paper. And I actually started to use it in my own work as a sort of an homage to this idea of non-traditional material.
All right, I just got another question. I love the internet questions that I get sometimes. If you want to do it the more traditional way, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Beryl Sola from PVCC, Maggie Guggenheimer from Piedmont Council of the Arts, Laura Parson from The Hook. The cultural revival of Charlottesville in terms of John Paul Jones Arena, Pavilion, Paramount, and what acts like Eric Clapton, Cirque du Soleil, and other issues have done for our town's art scene. Anybody? Laura, why don't you start with that? Because you write about arts for The Hook, and even if your column doesn't generally cover the music scene, because I realize that there's another columnist right. who does that, it seems to me that those would all have an influence on Charlottesville as a whole.
Oh, it absolutely does. I mean, when people get interested in one type of culture, it often leads them to another type of culture. One thing I'm missing this summer that happened the last two summers is several arts organizations of musicians and dancers and visual artists all came together. First, it was for the Charlottesville Wunderkammer a couple of years ago that was at the X Building. And then last year, it was another thing called Shen Tai. And it involved theater and music and dance and, you know, art installations and interactive art. And it was just great. And so I feel that every area, you know, whether it's the venues where the arts are shown. Oh, I just read that. What's the opera? That's Ashlawn is going to be at the Jefferson now. I mean, how exciting is that? Yet another really cool art thing coming to downtown. And everything benefits everything else. The Festival of the Photograph, you know, just having the photographs in the trees and in the shop windows during those 3 days, and a lot of it lasted for longer, it just gets everybody involved and engaged and talking, and our lives are enriched.
Go ahead, Maggie.
Well, I'd like to speak to the question of sort of the arts renaissance in Charlottesville from the performing arts industry's point of view. And the influx of new places to experience the performing arts is a wonderful thing for our community at large, but it's also a very challenging thing for individual theaters and performance spaces because they are now competing with more and more other spaces where and individuals in Charlottesville and the surrounding area have to choose on a Friday night between probably 5 to 10 different really stellar options in the performing arts arena. And it's becoming more and more difficult for some of the most long-standing performing arts venues in our community, whether it's Heritage Repertory Theater, which is now, I think, the Heritage Theater Festival, Live Arts. There are just, so many different options. And what the community needs to do is understand that arts organizations need public support. And there are a lot of options. If the ticket prices are an issue, you know, Live Arts has pay what you can night. There are some low cost ways to experience the arts in our community. And we all need to be advocates for people that might not have gone to a theater production or might not have gone to hear live music and grab a friend who might not otherwise go and say, hey, come with me to this show, this theater production. I think it's really important that we understand that even though we have this great blessing, that arts organizations need our support.
A question, though, as we talk about this, and I listed a couple of the, I guess, the national, at least musicians, Cirque du Soleil as well, but Eric Clapton, Willie Nelson, which did sell out, but Bob Dylan. And does the fact that some of these acts are unable to sell out, does that say anything about Charlottesville and the art scene?
I don't think it does, in that Charlottesville is a small place. We think it's bigger, and a lot of people around the country think it's bigger than it is. A lot of people do come into town for these shows, but, you know, we've become a nation of, you know, excess and sensation. So, you know, oh, a performance wasn't good if it doesn't get a standing ovation. Well, standing ovations used to be reserved for, you know, truly stellar performances, not every performance, just something that was above and beyond. And again, sell out crowds. People seem to think everything should sell out, but I assure you that probably the economic model for these shows is not a sellout. They probably, you know, have planned it so that they can at least turn a profit on it. You know, some shows I'm sure don't make a profit, but, you know, a sellout is not necessarily the gauge of whether something was successful.
Yeah, and Eric and Elvis Costello was much better than Bob Dylan, by the way.
I just wanted to add to financially supporting the arts that includes, you know, when you see these people down in the downtown mall playing music and singing, I always try and give them money because if you don't, they won't come back. And, well, in the case of some of them, maybe that's a good thing. But there are several that are just amazing, amazingly talented people out on the mall, and I try and give them money because I like them there.
Are you talking about the people with their guitar case open as you walk
by?
Yeah,
or the kids playing violin. There's been classical trios, all sorts of stuff. It's amazing the variety of people who have the chutzpah to come out and perform for whoever walks by. That's quite brave, I think.
As opposed to the, you don't drop money for the people showing off their hacky sack skills near Mudhouse?
Well, you know,
something?
I do, I support the jugglers. There was a family of jugglers, like three kids, four kids, all in the same family, and they were juggling maniacs. I gave them money.
All right. As we talk about arts with Beryl Sola, that was Beryl, Maggie Guggenheimer, Laura Parsons, all representing some very important folks in our art scene. And as Maggie pointed out, it's not just people who paint or who show sculpture at a museum, or, as I was talking about a moment ago, people who bring their musical skills to town. So which brings me to the next question that I'm going to devote to you, Maggie Guggenheimer, Executive Director, Piedmont Council of the Arts. I didn't want to get into the calendar scene for the whole hour, but as 11:52 here on the Wake Up Call, I do want to throw out some or let you talk about some calendar issues. What do I have here? Lawyers for the Arts Workshop, Seville. Is that art drinks or arts and drinks? That I leave out some of my grammar. Arts in your inbox.
Yeah, I would direct everyone, thank you for bringing this up, to PCA's website, which is charlottesvillearts.org. Piedmont Council of the Arts is a behind-the-scenes organization. We're not very invested in programming, but we do spend a lot of time programming via the web and making sure our website has very extensive lists of upcoming events. We have a calendar with over 500 events per month in all sorts of art genres. It's easiest to search by genre because there's so many events on there. But we also have two new things that we started this year. One is the Arts in Your Inbox, which is an email we send out every 2 weeks that just is really a snapshot of what's going on. It's not editorialized. It's not our picks. It's a swatch of what's happening in our community, large and small, new and old, all related to the arts. And we also have a new blog where we are focusing on things that you might not otherwise hear about, national arts advocacy information, the things that we're doing to bring people in the arts community together, one of which you mentioned, Art Drinks, which we'll launch this year, which is going to be a very casual monthly gathering of anyone who wants to meet other people in the arts. More details on that to follow. We're still in the exploration stage. But we will also be bringing community arts members from the arts organization community or local artists together in a series of roundtable conversations that we're going to call Creative Conversations. And I'll be in touch with as many people as I can contact in the arts organization community to give them more information about that. But we hope people will look at PCA as sort of a nexus for information about what's happening in the arts.
All right, 11:54 here on the Wake Up Call. As we talk about arts with these ladies today, let me take a moment and thank Blue Ridge Graphics for allowing us to be here. Blue Ridge Graphics, Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom T-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. And not that you would, but please don't go anywhere. Drew Thompson in the room for Les Temps Perdue next at noon. If French isn't your thing here at WNRN, that means the time's gone by, which means 80s and 90s alternative. Tune in for it at noon. Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. All right, we do have 5 or 6 minutes left. Who else? Laura, you're in the know. You are in the middle. You are the woman to talk to about calendar. What's on the calendar for the art scene?
Well, August is always a little bit slow. A lot of the galleries shut down and take a break. For instance, Second Street is off this month, and McGuffey is continuing its shows from July on into this month, and PVCC is also continuing its show from earlier this summer on into the middle of August. So it's somewhat slow, But there's some new things that are out there. I'm trying to think of what they are, because I keep thinking of shows that are ongoing. Well, yeah, of course, the Fun Bus is a new thing.
Ashland Opera, there's a few weeks left to experience Ashland Opera and Heritage Theater Festival.
Well, you have everything coming up in September is sort of the...
Right. August is a real lull.
The revival for this community. I mean, to me, this community is a spring and summer town, not in a bad way by any means, because spring and fall town, because people take off for the summer for vacation time. The university sort of goes into...
I would say the visual arts calendar at least pretty much falls in line with the academic school year. So,
but do you know of anything that normally happens in the fall? Well, like in September, we all know that football season starting, and that isn't a fall. That isn't anything that falls in with the arts. But do you know of anything that's going on?
Well, all the galleries that have been on hiatus, I don't know what shows they're going to have coming up, but they will be back on board. Oh, here's something I do want to mention. Le Jeu de Monde, which closed briefly when its space became Le Petit Baby, a child's clothing store. It was inadvertent. And so Le Jeu de Monde, which is one of the best private galleries in town for showing really worthwhile avant-garde and contemporary art. Lynn Warren. Her last name has changed. Yeah. Lynn Warren has been looking for a new temporary space because she has some pretty significant shows lined up for the fall, and she just found a new space for Le Jeu de Monde. So everybody make a note. It's in what used to be the bridal shop on West Main. Cool. It's right between Zinc Bistro and the ABC store, and that is opening, I believe, August 15th or 16th. If you go to lejeudemonde.com, I think they have the opening dates. But it's very exciting that she has a new space because, again, in the fall, I know she has shows by Dean Doss and Clay Witt and a bunch of other really interesting local artists that we're lucky to
have. Didn't I read about that in The Hook?
You did read about it in The Hook. Lisa Province just reported on it in the blog.
All right, let me take a moment and let you know this is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Streetbrier Amherst Lynchburg. I just saved myself a big federal fine. Now, Barrasola as chair of the PVCC Art Department and gallery curator, mm-hmm. and I talk about school coming back in session. Yeah. In September, what's going on there?
Well, we're kicking off on September 12th, our 10th anniversary celebration, if you can believe that, of the Dickinson Building, which is mainly a fine arts building. We have an opening of Chica Tenney's show, a one-person show on one side, which will be fabulous, and then the second side, Chica's Choice, which was curated by Chica, Liz Geiger.
Chica?
Chica Tenney is our previous chair, the person whose shoes I fill.
I see. Okay. Along, I was just asking.
Okay. I'm getting an x-ray. And on the other side, Liz Geiger, Bill White, and Jesse Coles. And that weekend, September 13th, we're having a painting workshop that you can email me if you're interested in. There's only a few spots left for intermediate and advanced painters, bsola@pvcc.edu. And we're also kicking off our free film festival, which we do, not free festival, I'm lying, free film series, the third Friday of each month starting in September. And we're going to open the season with Once, the movie Once, which is pretty fabulous.
So that presents our hour of arts. Anybody want to have an outgoing comment? It is 11:59 on the wake-up call. Drew Thompson up next with Les Temps-Perdue. That was our hour. Barrasola, chair of PVCC Art Department and the gallery curator, Maggie Guggenheimer, executive director, Piedmont Council of the Arts, Laura Parsons, The Hook's tremendous art writer. All right, ladies, thank you so much for coming in today. I appreciate it. I wish I could tell everyone what next week's show is about, but I just don't remember. All right, it is noon. Drew's up. Thank you so much. Enjoy your beautiful Sunday.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.